Today we're going to be looking at the seventh beatitude, where Jesus spoke these words. He said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." Jesus was saying, happy in God are those who bring peace, for they enjoy the inheritance of being God's precious children. This morning we're going to be talking about peace, 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 wonderful peace coming down from the Father above. We're going to cover three different kind of sections this morning as we talk about this topic of peace. The first topic that we're going to look at is, what is peace? What is peace? It's really cool because the Bible begins and it ends with peace. Adam and Eve had peace with God and with each other in the Garden of Eden. Peace with God and with each other, until sin entered the picture. When sin came, conflict, discord, and dissension came. Those are a result of sin. All conflict is a result of sin. And there was total peace before sin. Hey, another reason to hate sin. If you didn't have enough reasons to hate sin, if it hasn't beat you up enough, just from living in this fallen world that we live in until Jesus returns. Another reason to hate sin, it robs us of peace. It brings conflict, discord, disunity, all that junk. So the Bible, though, it began with peace. Man at peace with God and with one another. And the Bible ends by telling us that there is a kingdom that is once again coming that is characterized by peace, where the lion will lay down with the lamb. Just look at that picture. That's not natural in the world that we live in. But that is how God created things. He created things to be at peace, for the lion to lay down with the lamb. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, that God is the author of peace, not the author of confusion. I want to make a statement about that. I feel like often we will blame God for the results of sin. Some conflict, some craziness will be happening in our lives, and we'll start going, why is God letting that happen? What's God doing? God is the author of peace, not confusion in the life of a believer. He's the author of peace, peace, wonderful peace. So why don't we have more peace? Anybody here in the room want more peace? Come on. Want more peace. Why don't we have more peace? It's because we live in a fallen world. We live in a broken, fallen world right now, and we have a devil who fights against peace. So we got to understand. Remember, we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against the devil. There's a devil, and he hates peace. He wars against peace because he knows what true peace represents. See, true peace is being in right relationship with God. Peace is being in right standing before God. Peace means that Jesus is Lord of our lives. It means that Jesus is Lord of our relationships. Peace means that Jesus is the Lord of our attitudes. That He's the Lord of our days, of our calendar, of our finances. It means that Jesus is the Lord of everything. That's peace. And that's what brings peace. You know, sometimes we think that peace is the absence of conflict. Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? If I just didn't have all this conflict, if I didn't have all this junk coming at me right now, I would be at peace. It sounds good, but it's not the whole story. Because peace isn't the absence of something. Peace is actually the presence of righteousness. Let me say it clear. Peace is not the absence of something, but rather the presence of someone. Too often we seek peace by trying to control our environment and put this over here and move this here and, you know, change this up. And if I just kind of got more control of my life, I could get my life in a place of peace. I could control the conflict, remove this, change this, and that's going to bring peace. But peace is never the absence of anything. It's always the presence of someone. Let's look at it this way. You can be in the middle of a raging storm. I mean, it can be crazy. And I'm talking about conflict. You can be in the middle of conflict. The storm's going crazy all around of you. And how many of you know that life has its storms, has its conflicts? How many of you are in the middle of some sort of conflict right now in your life? You can raise your hand. It's okay. We're all in this together. We're family, right? Right? There are storms. There is conflict in life, and you can be right in the middle of it right now, but if Jesus is in your boat, you can still have peace. The waters can be going crazy around you. The disciples understood this, didn't they? I mean, they were in the middle of a raging storm. It was crazy. Jesus gets in the boat and brings peace. The world is still in chaos. Things are going crazy around. But if Jesus is in your boat, if He's in your life, if He's Lord of your life in every single area of your life, you can be in the middle of that raging storm, in the middle of that conflict with people coming after you, saying things about you, whatever it might be, and you can still experience and live in the reality of real peace. It's part of our inheritance as children of God. Part of the kingdom of God. Peace is part of His kingdom. And we can have it now. Even though the world is not at peace. Because we're not of this world anymore. We're citizens of a new kingdom. We've been talking about that as we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount. Our citizenship changed when we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior and we laid down our lives. We gave ourselves wholly and completely to Him and we were brought into a whole another kingdom. And in that kingdom, there's peace. There's peace. And we can have that peace when we invite Jesus into our boat, even though the storms are crazy around us. Because peace is the presence of Christ. And peace is present when Christ is present. Peace is present in your relationships when Christ is Lord of your relationships. Doesn't mean everybody's going to like you. But you can still be in that place of peace in the middle of that and in that relationship. Peace is present in your finances when Christ is the Lord of your finances. It doesn't mean that you all of a sudden got $1 million show up in your account and woohoo, let's go party. Good Christmas this year. La 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 la, whatever, you know, that doesn't mean that. You can be in a place where you should be feeling stress and conflict and but you can be at peace. Because Jesus is Lord. Always has been, always will be. And what your bank statement says or doesn't say isn't going to dictate who you are and isn't going to rob you of your peace. Peace is present in your heart when Jesus is the Lord of your heart. So many people walking around today that are just all jumbled up inside, man. They're just at no rest in their soul. I mean, their inner man is just in turmoil and they're trying to figure it out and they're trying to bring peace to their soul, to their inner man. And it's not happening, but it will happen when Christ is present there, fills that hole. When they invite Him in their boat, peace will come. Peace is present in your marriage when Christ is the Lord of your marriage. You see how this all works? seems simple. It really is. We make it complicated. It's just all about surrender and giving it all to Him. All to Jesus, I surrender. The result, peace. Peace. When Jesus is present, peace is present. That's because righteousness and peace go together. Like peanut butter and jelly. Now, my older boys wouldn't understand that because they can't really quite do peanut butter yet. I continue to rejoice over the fact that they couldn't eat so many other things, but they've been delivered of so many allergies and all this junk. The devil was it was so bad. Talk about storms in a mom's life when she can't feed her kids anything, but I don't even know what it was. Quinoa and apples or something like that. Kids love quinoa. Maybe some do. But when that's all you can eat is apple and quinoa and a piece of meat. Anyway, let me get back to this. Righteousness and peace go together. They go together. And I love this passage, and all the kids are just going to love this. Psalm 85:10 says, righteousness and peace kiss each other. All the kids are like, ooh, pastor's talking about kissing. They kiss each other. Righteousness and peace. They lay a big one on one another. They kiss each other. Velvet and I were married 23 and a half years ago. And at the end of the ceremony, after we said our vows to one another, Pastor Richard Jackson, old school Southern Baptist boy, man, that guy married us and we knew we were married. I mean, it was like, yes, sir, we are married. But then he said, you may kiss your bride. And I turned to Velvet with tears in my eyes. I grabbed, well, I didn't grab her. We kissed right in front of everyone, everyone. We kissed. We kissed each other to show that we were one. That we were united, that we went together, and that we'd always be together. And likewise, righteousness and peace are joined together always. They kiss each other. Jesus is righteousness, and He is peace. Jesus and peace go together, and they will never be separated. They kiss each other. So again, Jesus said in that seventh beatitude, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Let's look at the second topic for us this morning. What is a peacemaker? I've got a picture here to show you a couple peacemakers. I went hunting last Saturday, so I guess I have guns on the brain a little bit, and when I was thinking of peacemakers, I thought of the Colt peacemaker, but this isn't the kind of peacemaker we're talking about. But all the young guys in the room are thinking, yeah, this is good. I like church today. We're looking at guns. Yeah, guns. What is a peacemaker? I got the girls with the kisses and got the guns for the boys. We're all good here. Look at this. Hey, family integrated church. This is good. It's all working out. What is a peacemaker? This is what we're talking about. We're not talking about a cult peacemaker. A peacemaker is someone, you got it. Peacemaker is someone who brings righteousness, who brings Jesus into a situation. That's a peacemaker. A peacemaker is someone who brings Jesus into the room, into the relationship, into the situation. And so with that being the case, we got to understand that man can't manufacture peace. We can't make it. We can't produce peace. We can't create peace. Yet, since the fall in the Garden of Eden, mankind has tried to manufacture, they've tried to force peace back into this world. Look at all the attempts over the last 100 years. All the attempts to make peace, all the wars that were supposed to ultimately bring peace. They all failed. The world's still at war, aren't we? Watch the news. We're still at war. The world's still filled with conflict. Did you know that man has produced over 14,000 wars since the Garden of Eden? over 14,000 wars, and we're still in conflict. There have been over 3.6 billion people that have been killed in those 14,000 wars. Do you see what conflict? Do you see what the lack of peace brings? The fruit of it is death. It's no good. 3.6 billion people have lost their lives because of conflict, because of war. Man trying to make peace, to bring it all together, to get control over this world. 8,000 peace treaties have been signed in the course of human history. And we're still at war, meaning every single one's been broken. Man's best attempt to manufacture, to bring, to establish peace, to get rid of conflict in this world, and it all fails. But the world still wants peace. Here's a bumper sticker. Y'all have probably seen this one. Visualize world peace, brother. Visualize it. I even think the way the world visualizes world peace is so distorted. But anyway. Then, this is the one that I like. It's this next one. Because this is about as good as the world can get with it. Visualize world peace. I mean, we can cook some of those up, but we can't bring world peace. World peace. But I like the next one that you can see on bumper stickers. You've seen it on t-shirts also. And because this one speaks truth. I mean, it really does bring it all together. Because here's the reality. If you want world peace, no Jesus, no peace. If Jesus is not present, if he's not the ruler of every life and the ruler of every nation, there will not be peace. But if we know Jesus, K-N-O-W, if the world would get to know Jesus, the world would get to know real peace. Because peace can only come from God. It only comes from God. And I want to step back again and just say that some of us, again, I mentioned it earlier, this is not in my notes, I believe this is a message for some of us in the room right here. We still try to create and manufacture peace out of our own strength. And it can come from a place, from a good heart. And it can come from a place of wanting to do the right thing. I mean, to have a desire for peace is a good thing. But when we try to manufacture it and create peace on our own terms, without going all the way and submitting that area of our lives to Jesus and giving it to him 100% and letting him lead us in that area, we're never going to have real peace. And there's some of us in our homes, in our relationships, in our marriages where we're trying to get our hands around it. But that's the issue. We're trying to get our hands around it instead of getting our hands off of it and getting Jesus' hands around it and giving it to him. Because all you're going to get is world peace for dinner if you get your hands around it and try to bring peace into that situation or in that relationship. You got to let go and let God. That's another good bumper sticker. It's the bumper sticker message. Got to give it to God. That's when peace is going to happen. And let the Holy Spirit lead you out of that after you've surrendered to the Lord. Let him lead you into that relationship and you're going to find peace. I want to talk about another aspect of being a peacemaker. See, being a peacemaker is different than being a peacekeeper. Peacekeepers avoid conflict. Peacekeepers avoid conflict. And I'm not saying that peacekeepers, there's anything wrong with being a peacekeeper. But we're called to go to the next level with it. Jesus is saying, blessed are the peacemakers. Peacekeepers avoid conflict while peacemakers resolve conflict. Sometimes it's easier just to, you know, close our eyes and our ears and go, la, 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 I can't see it. And I'm going to pretend it's not there in order to try to avoid conflict, thinking it's going to bring peace. But it can often just perpetuate the problem and even give it a chance to grow and get worse. We're called to be a peacemaker that actually brings resolution to conflict. See, having peace is a desire while making peace is a decision. And it takes action to make peace. Look at James 3, verses 17 and 18. James 3, 17 and 18. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit. It's impartial and sincere. And then James says, peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Do you see the picture there? A peacemaker sows. That's an action. They're sowing peace. They're sowing righteousness. And they're going to reap based on what they sowed. They're not going to reap based on what they ignored or what they avoided. They're going to reap based on what they've sown. So peacemakers are called to bring peace, not just avoid conflict. So if you don't have peace in your marriage, for instance, don't avoid the conflict, but bring it before the Lord and bring your marital relationship into right standing with God. Bring righteousness. Bring Jesus. Bring Him into the middle of your relationship. Make Him the foundation, the rock of it. Don't avoid the conflict. Personally, I find that when a married couple is having problems and they just avoid conflict, they don't grow closer together by avoiding the conflict. They grow further apart. Because peace is never brought and restored in that relationship. If you have conflict in your finances, with friends, at work, bring righteousness into it. Bring Jesus into it. Sit down and get Jesus involved in that relationship. There's an area of conflict in your life. I really encourage you to look and say, okay, God, is this in right standing before you? I mean, maybe the area of conflict in your life is finances. And it's always just causing chaos in your life. I mean, it's just, you're always trying to get your hands around it, but it always is just bringing yuck into your life. And then it bleeds over into your relationships and everything. Look at that area of your life. Is it fully submitted to the Lord? Is Jesus the Lord of your finances, or is Jesus the Lord of your life, or is your finances really your Lord? Do your finances have too big of a place in your life to where it's causing conflict and chaos within your very soul when everything's not perfect and in order? Give it to God. Submit it to Him. Let Him be the Lord of that area. And peace is going to follow. God is not a liar. He's not a liar. His ways are right and they're good and they're true. And when we bring peace, when we bring Jesus into every area and every relationship of our lives and we submit it to Him and give it to Him and He is now the Lord, peace will follow. Peace will follow. And I can tell you this also. Wisdom will follow too. Ideas, strategies, blessings and favor, they follow a life that is submitted to God. That's just reality. That's God's kingdom. This is how it works. And ultimately, we're happy in God when we live this way. That's what Jesus is saying. We're happy in God when we live this way. When we bring peace, when we bring Jesus into every area of our lives. It says in Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. To me, what that's saying is righteousness is what brings peace to a nation. If a nation wants peace, they need to submit themselves to God. And be a nation that honors Him, that fears Him, reveres Him. And when a nation does that, and we've seen it throughout history, when the people of Israel would submit themselves to God, when they bring God into their camp, and when God truly was God of their nation, what happened? Peace would come. Prosperity would come. Righteousness would come into their nation. And when they would turn their back and no longer exalt righteousness, but turn back to sin, what would happen? It would fall apart. War. Slavery. They become slaves. I mean, it all gets messed up. So what's going to fix the United States and keep us from going down that road or continuing the slip down that road? It's we gotta have some peacemakers in this nation that bring righteousness into this nation. And it's not just a bunch of theological hope and talk. It's the real deal. It's bringing righteousness, bringing Jesus into our places of work, into our neighborhoods, into our community, into this nation. Everywhere that we go, we got to be peacemakers and we got to bring righteousness and we got to exalt righteousness. And when we do that, we're going to experience peace. If the church remains silent and we're just a bunch of conflict avoiders and peacekeepers, and let's just get along with this broken world and wait for Jesus to come back someday. In the meantime, we're just going to kind of go hide and create our own little club, and then all hell is going to continue to break loose. And sin will be a disgrace on this nation. But you know what? We're peacekeepers. No, we're peacemakers. And so what are we going to do? We're going to bring righteousness. We're going to bring righteousness. That's kingdom living. Bringing righteousness. It says in Isaiah 57, "There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked." If you're walking in righteousness, you'll have peace. If you're not walking in righteousness, you won't have peace. Period. That's true for an individual. It's true for a family. It's true for a church. It's true for a community and a nation. Here's an interesting fact that I found in my studies this past week. Okay, so we already talked about how the Bible begins with peace, right? Mankind is at peace with God and with one another. Awesome. And we can live that way today, by the way. Okay? The Bible ends with peace. Kingdom of God returning, bringing peace, right? Peace, peace, peace. The middle verse of the Bible is this. Check this out. It's in Isaiah 26:3. "You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you." I think peace is pretty important to the Lord. He created all things. He created us to be people who live in peace. He started it out that way. It's all ending that way, but he's reminding us in the middle of it all. Keep your hearts and your minds steadfast on peace. How do we do that? Being steadfast on Jesus and with him, the Prince of Peace. We stay in perfect peace when we stay focused on God. No matter what the world says, no matter what our circumstances are, no matter what the economy is, no matter what the doctors say, no matter what tomorrow may bring, we can remain in perfect peace when we stay focused on God. And again, it doesn't mean that the broken world won't come at us. It doesn't mean that we won't be in the middle of storms. Doesn't mean that there won't be conflict there. It doesn't mean that there won't be arrows fired at us. But in the middle of all that, we can remain in perfect peace when we keep our minds focused on him, on God. Want peace? Bring God into your situation. Stay focused on his truth. Okay, third topic. Who are the peacemakers? Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:17-21. 2 Corinthians 5:17-21. Who are the peacemakers? "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself." In other words, he made peace with us. through Christ, God made peace with mankind and gave us the ministry of what? Reconciliation, which is peace. We're peacemakers. He gave us that ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, making peace with the world, in other words, through Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation, that message of peace, of reconciling, bringing peace, righteousness into the world. Verse 20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, and I want to say we're his peacemakers, that's what we are, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. In other words, be at peace with God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And that still blows my mind that that can even happen. But in Christ, in God, all things are possible. Those who have made peace with God through Christ are peacemakers. Is that you? Have you been made right through Christ? Have you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior? Are you a new creation in Christ Jesus? If you are, then you are one of the peacemakers that God has on this earth to do his work, to bring his Son, to bring his presence into the lives of everyone around you. Who are the peacemakers? If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are the peacemaker. It's you. It's not the pastor. It's not some special group of evangelists that are out there. It's you. You're the peacemaker. Jesus tells us that the benefit of being a peacemaker is that we will be called children of God. Children of God. If you're in Christ Jesus, then you're at peace with God. And you're his child. And so because of that, we go and we share the gospel with others and lead others into that reality, to being at peace with God. We're peacemakers. Children of God. That's what children of God do. That's what children do. We go represent the Father. We bring him into the lives of other people. We go and then we grow his family as we see people being at peace with God through Christ Jesus. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'll say it again, you are a peacemaker. So go make peace. Go bring peace. Bring Jesus everywhere you go, to everyone that you meet. Be led by the Holy Spirit. We have to be. And when we're led by the Spirit and we're willing to be peacemakers, the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us into accomplishing this, into being used by God, being his hand and his feet, and bringing peace into this world. What a privilege, by the way, to be called children of God. I want you just to think about that right now. You're a child of God. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, if your life now is in him, you're a child of God. You're not an orphan. You're not a child of this generation, you know, generation X, Y, Z, whatever they have out there, the millennials or whatever. No, you're a child of God. You're at peace with God. You're a member of his family. Just that reality alone should bring peace into your inner man. You're a child of God. When I was preparing this sermon, I began to see this link that the righteous one, Jesus Christ, brings peace, and that results in joy. You see this progression, this godly progression? Righteousness brings peace that leads to joy. So being the goofy old school guy that I am, I started singing that old school song. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Okay, here's what we're going to do. Some of you know that song. We're going to sing it. Tracy's all excited to sing it. She got a big old smile on her face. In fact, did you want to come up here and lead it? Oh, hallelujah. Wow. Not only peace, but it brings boldness. Boldness and peace. Seriously, look at this progression of how God's economy works, how God works. When we bring the righteous one, when we bring Jesus into anything, it leads to peace. And when we have peace, what explodes? Joy explodes. This is God's economy. This is what He has for us. This is your inheritance in Christ Jesus. It's part of what you have as being a child of God. This is for you right now, in the midst of all the craziness that this world has going on, in the midst of the storm, in the midst of you can have and you should have peace. Bring Jesus in, and you will have peace. And I guarantee you, you all know this. When you're at peace, oh, there is great joy. There is great joy. So I want us to sing this. If you know it, sing it. If you don't know it, just try. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Righteousness. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the key. Let's go. Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Come on, everybody. Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Come on, everybody. Come on, doesn't that just make you feel good, just singing that? Come on, it's good. This is God's way, and when we embrace God's way of living, it's going to bring joy. Even if it seems a little goofy. I'm sure I'm going to hear something from my kids later. Dad, I can't believe it. I know, man. Isn't it awesome? I really am getting old. Woo! And I'm at peace with that, by the way. What area of your life is lacking peace? What area of your life is being tossed to and fro by the storms? What area of your life is experiencing conflict and strife and anxiety? Why don't you go ahead and bow your heads? Let's bow our heads. Let's just quiet ourselves before the Lord. I want you just to spend a few moments right now seeking God, letting the Holy Spirit reveal to you maybe an area of your life that is experiencing conflict. That stormy area, it's probably already becoming evident to you. Maybe it's a marriage. Maybe it's finances. Family relationship. Looking at Thanksgiving this Thursday. Just be real before the Lord. Let him show you an area that is stormy right now. Time to introduce the Prince of Peace into that area of your life, into that situation, into that relationship. Let's lay it down. Let's stop. Stop trying to control it. Stop fearing it. I want us to give it to God right now, because our portion is peace. It's time to be a peacemaker in our own lives right now. Make some peace in that area. I just want to lead us in a prayer of, really it's a prayer of repentance. It's a commitment and decision to let go and let God. Feel free to pray this with me, after me, out loud, just between you and the Lord, however you want to do it. But you have an opportunity right now to be a peacemaker. Bring righteousness into the situation. Just say, Lord, I surrender this area of my life to you. You can just even call it out. Surrender this relationship to you. Surrender my finances. Surrender my schedule. I surrender my children to you. I give it all to you, God. Lord, I repent of trying to control it. Forgive me. I repent of not inviting you and not submitting it to you. Forgive me, Lord. God, today I choose to be a peacemaker. So come, Lord Jesus. Come, Prince of Peace, into my life. Into this area of my life, into this relationship. Come, Lord Jesus. Just invite him in right now to that area. Surrender it to him. Give it to him. It's yours, Jesus. I get my hands off it right now. I release my grip on it. I give it to you, God. I choose righteousness this day. I choose surrender. Choose you, Jesus. I make peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, Jesus said, for they will be called children of God. Happy in God are those who bring peace. Happy in God are those who bring Jesus into every area of their lives, every relationship. A first step of being a peacemaker. This is a lifestyle. Like how Jesus said it. He didn't say, blessed are those who make peace at some time in their life. But he used the term, he put a title. He said, blessed are the peacemakers. That's a title that sticks with us, that stays with us. It's part of who we are now. It's part of how we think and how we live. Let's be those people who make peace every single day in every single way, who bring Jesus into everything. Sometimes the enemy gets us off just in one area, and it can just mess everything up. Whenever you feel off in anything, in any way, go to God. Let the Holy Spirit reveal that area that needs peace. And be a peacemaker. Reveal that relationship that needs peace and be a peacemaker. Amen? Let's do it. It's a wonderful way to live. I want to close with this. Let's everybody stand up. I just want to bless you. This blessing is recorded in number 6. Most of you have heard it before, but I think it's so appropriate, especially for today, as we're going to walk out of here as peacemakers. Not peacekeepers, not conflict avoiders, but peacemakers. May the Lord bless you, and may He keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And listen to this. the Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Lord, we choose to look in Your wonderful face every day where we find peace. We thank You for Your word, Jesus, for this beatitude, for this way of kingdom living. We choose to embrace it and be peacemakers. Thank You, Lord. In Your name, Jesus. Amen.